Well, hello again, Mike O'Connor. Another Geezer Cast. Song in the background's a new one. I'm still messing around with jam sticks, but this time I thought I would just sort of let it go as sort of all out as it possibly could. So this is sort of a Phil Collins-esque, big band-ish. I sort of went crazy with the brass again. Sooner or later, I'll land on something I like for a theme, but I've been having such a good time with this thing, just sort of learning how all the instruments work and stuff. But we'll see. I got a new closer, too. But, you know, Richard came down for Thanksgiving, and one of the things he said was sort of interesting, and I thought I would start exploring that. He said, well, you know, my friend Chris says that nobody really knows how you make your money. You just sort of live your life, and money seems to happen, and it's weird, you know, you don't go to work and stuff like that. I thought that was pretty cool. Because I think that's where a lot of us aspire to be, is to sort of have a life where there's, you know, it's not like a workaholic thing where you work all the time, but there's no real distinct boundary between what you do for work and what you do for play. And that's certainly the case for me, has been for a long time. But I thought I would sort of set the record a little bit straight. I do indeed work for a living, and talk a little about that. One of the things that reminded me of was that way back in, I think it was in grad school at Cornell, I came across an article, or one of the professors gave us an article to read that sort of talked about this notion of a career. Because especially back then, there was this pretty strong sense that you sort of picked a career and you set down this road, and basically the road had no curves, and you just basically did this thing. You know, you did a career, and at the end you retired, and that was that. And the article was sort of debunking that, and I think way ahead of its time. Now I think that the notion of a career is completely exploded, and what this person, whoever wrote the article, was saying is that a career is something that you can only describe after you've done it. And all the forks along the road are like little accidental happenings, and you can really only make sense out of them looking backwards in time. And that's certainly true for me. My career at the beginning, I didn't have a career. I was a hippie engineer, not a very good engineer even. It just sort of got into community radio because my girlfriend at the time, Carol, I can't remember why we went to St. Louis, but we hung out with the folks at KDNA, which was a community radio station in St. Louis at that time, one of the most interesting ones. A lot of the most interesting people in community radio worked there. Folks like Jeremy Landsman and Tom Thomas and Terry Clifford and Bill Thomas and John Mondello and, I don't know, a whole bunch of people. And it was a commune in downtown St. Louis in one of the worst parts of town. It was in an area called the Gaslight Square District, which once upon a time had been very cool, but by the early 70s had certainly seen better days. There were we had our own prostitute who hung out across the street, and you know, there were drug pushers all up and down the road and stuff like that. And there was this beat-up old house where the radio station was, and then about a block away there was another house that KDNA owned where a lot of us lived. And I think I went there. I can't remember why we went. But we went for quite a while. We were there for a month or 6 weeks or something like that. After we got out of college, and I really had no clue what I was going to do with my life, and I got really into this community radio thing. It was a great group of people, really smart, caring, committed, fun and funny people. And that was really the inspiration that carried me on for the next few years doing a variety of community radio things. And that was an accident. There was no planning for it. I didn't I didn't take a course of study at college that would have gotten me to that. I barely graduated from college. I had a really good time in college, but I didn't get very good grades. And I certainly wasn't that interested in what was going on there. I was there because it was sort of the thing to do, and for quite a bit of my college time, it was to stay out of the draft. It was the era of the Vietnam War, and it wasn't until fairly late in my college career that the lottery came along, and then I got a pretty high number, and then I decided I'd finish the college degree and then figure out what to do after that. So certainly in college, I wasn't thinking at all about career and what I was going to do for a living. And so for you, for Richard and Robert who are listening to that, anytime I get too on you about what you're going to do with your life, you can beat me up because I didn't have a clue, especially when I was in college. But, you know, that was that trip to St. Louis was sort of the first of a whole bunch of accidents. One of the ways that I made a lot of money was many years later, in the early 90s, I got a whole bunch of domain names. And the reason I got them is because of the accident of getting into radio in St. Louis and eventually building my own radio station in Madison, Wisconsin. And during that process, discovering how hard it was to get call letters for the stations, we wound up with the call letters WORT in Madison, Wisconsin. But that was not our first choice. My first choice, which was available, was WOMB, WOMB. And I was pretty much going hell-bent for election in that direction when some of the women in the group pointed out that that probably wasn't the best choice. And so I cast around, and I came up with WART, WART, and filed for it, and to my dismay, discovered that 2 weeks before I'd filed, somebody in South Carolina, I think, I can't remember where, southeastern U.S. anyway, had filed for it. And I called them up and I said, why did you take that call letter? And they said, well, we're an arts station and it's W-A-R-T, W-A-R-T. And I was going, no, man, it's WART. Oh, I was so bummed out. So I settled for sort of second best. They wouldn't give me the call letters. They were a little dismayed when they realized what they'd done, but they weren't ready to give up the call letter just yet. So I settled for WORT, and that's how that station got named. But it was an episode that got me into call letters and how hard it is to get good ones. And so when domain names came out, I was pretty keen on the notion that you could get as many domain names as you wanted, especially back then. It was free, and there was this, basically there was one guy, I've forgotten his name, but he was the administrator of the domain name system. He kind of hung out in the basement of Network Solutions, which was at that time a consulting firm doing government contracts, and they got this contract to take care of this internet thing, so they were doing the domain name things and all that. And there was this guy, and you just email him and say, hey, is haven.com available? And he'd look up in this pretty short list of .com names. And he'd say, yep, that's available. And he'd say, well, I'd like that one. And so he'd assign it to you for free. And so that's how I got haven.com. And then as I got it, I realized, well, gee, you know, these domain names, they're a lot like call letters for radio stations. That's pretty cool. Maybe I'll get some more. And so I went out looking for radio.com. I was thinking I would do, this was before the web had really happened, so about the best you could do was a gopher site. And so I was thinking, well, I'll do a community radio gopher site. That'd be pretty cool. And so I went after radio.com, and it was taken. But just for fun, I said, well, what about television.com? The guy said, looked it up. Nope, you can have television.com. So I got television.com just because I thought it was a cool name. And then a few months later, I got company.com because I have my own little freelance company, cleverly named the O'Connor Company. And so I thought, well, I'll have the email address O'Connor@company.com. That'll be easy for people to remember. and that one was available. And then that led me to other names, like I had sort of a drinking places streak, so I got bar.com and pub.com and grill.com, because I thought maybe I'd do sort of Mike's Bar online. This was also the era of sort of the emergence of online community spaces like The Well. And I was thinking, well, you know, Mike'sBar.com, that'd be pretty cool. And those were all available. And then I got into sort of a place thing, so I got place.com and shelter.com. You know, just I got this gaggle of names. Just an accident, and I got them for no particular reason. I didn't get them to get rich. I mean, this was before domain names were anything except sort of this quirky corner of this quirky thing called the internet. And I just got them because of the accident of hanging out at KDNA and WORT back in the sort of early to mid-70s. And of course, then by the late 90s, when the internet thing was just totally nuts, people were offering outrageous amounts of money for those names. And so I sold company.com was the best one. I sold it for enough money to buy this farm down here. Television.com, I traded for Magic Beans. I took all stock on that deal. So I still own 10% of a pretty defunct corporation that was going to be all things television, but got caught up in the sort of dot-com collapse. I've got all the rest, you know, because then the bottom fell out. So that's one way that you make money is, as I always say, it's always better to be lucky than smart. That was purely lucky. There was some smart in there because I held on to the names for a while. I didn't take the first offers. I think the first offer for television.com was $50,000. And of course, when I turned it down in 1995, everybody thought I was completely crazy. But as history proved, those names got a lot more valuable. And actually, they're getting valuable again. It's funny to sort of see the dot-com space come back, at least in the domain name world. So that's one story. I think I've got probably several of these stories in me. And this is getting on to be a long enough podcast, so I think I'll stop now. But one way you make money is by sort of treating your career as a series of happy accidents and taking all the things that you learned in prior parts of your career and applying them to the current day and hopefully being lucky a little bit along the way. So there you go. There's a geezer cast for you. And more to come. This is a different song taking us out. This is my discovery of how to do elevator music. Lots of strings. I understand now why producers stick strings in. It's really easy to do, and it instantly gives a very characteristic sound. I've never done it before. So here's a little tune to take you out, and I'll see you the next time.